see something on the agenda here about oysters.
We're gonna talk about oysters.
Just briefly to go, went over, last month, obviously, our harvest continues to go up. Since the last meeting, it's preliminary harvests have gone up another 30,000 bushels, so we're up around 540,000 bushels now, or last year, so it's very good. And we know going into this year that from our stock assessment that stocks are pretty good everywhere that we have scheduled for opening, because we had good sets in 2012 and 2010. The few that are left in some of the three-year rotations. Spat sets are on shell strings, look pretty good for this year so far. But as a point of caution, and the reason that we have suggested some items in here, that we know that 2011 and 2013 were bad spat set years. 13 was probably the worst that we've seen in a while. So there will be some lag in what's out on public. And what we're talking about today, we're talking about the blue part here, the public fishery that we manage. As the harvest has gone up, one of our growing pains for the public fishery are that we have more people that are getting into it. And crabs are not doing so well, so people that used to crab later into the oyster season, like October and November, now jumping the oysters right at the beginning. And so what we've seen is that the yellow there are the hand scrapes and the blue are the dredges. We've seen those gear types increase as rapidly or more rapidly than the harvest. And it's worrisome for us as staff if we don't want to come into a hard landing at some point where we have years. We're not going to have perfect spat sets every year, and the numbers of people that are wanting to make a living off this now has gotten into very high levels. So we had a meeting with the Shellfish Management Division to discuss some of the things that we had advertised for possible solutions, short-term solutions, and maybe help us have a softer landing into the controlling effort a little bit. And one of the things that happened at that meeting and that they wanted me to pass along was their overarching concern, and we all know this, is that, you know, they hate to have to do different restrictions on the honest guys when we know that a small group of people are causing the problems and that makes all the honest guys pay for it. And the commissioner is well aware of that, as you saw today in taking away licenses. We're trying to be very hard on those that don't do what they're supposed to. But at least for the seasons, we had unanimous agreement that what we had proposed for the seasons was good, that they accepted that. Just pointing out two little parts here that are different from last year is that we've added a month on to the James River seed season, and we've added a month on the seaside. The areas that are going to be open for rotation are Area 1 down here off Deltaville and Area 6 up off Urbana and the Rappahannock River. In Pocomoke and Tangier Management Area, Area 2 is going to open, which is this part in Tangier and this part in Pocomoke Sound. We were supposed to rotate into Mob Jack Bay down in the Gloucester area this year after being 2 years in the York, but our standing stocks don't look very good there, so we had suggested that we go back to the Area 1, which was open 2 years ago in New York, and give the Mob Jack more time to hopefully get a spat set this year and start building some stocks out there. So that all those things were passed unanimously by the Shellfish Management Division. We had suggested to add a control date. And a control date is a date that you set that says that beyond that date, you won't necessarily, if you enter the fishery, you won't necessarily be entitled to any part of the share of the harvest after that date. And that item was discussed at the meeting, and it actually was a 3-4-6 against vote at the Shellfish Management meeting. But in this case, you know, staff feels like we need to still request this amendment, this addition to this regulation, because we, whether or not we ever use it, we've got to have somewhere to go back and start. And so we had picked July 1st, 2014 for that control date. Staff had also recommended that as a possible way to, how can you reduce the amount of time that the watermen are spending just going over and over the areas. And what we see is in a lot of these areas, we've got a lot of people coming and use them. Harvest is really easy at the beginning. And then as the season progresses and the market orchards go down, they spend more and more time dragging over it, which leads to damage to the year classes that are coming. It also, you know, encourages people to take small orchards, which this year especially, since we know we're going into a poor year of spasset from 2 out of the last 3 years, we don't want any small orchards to get away because we'll need them next year and the year after that. And so we had suggested to lower the bushel limit for the big boats that carry 3 people and have 3 limits, that we only allow 2 limits on a boat and 16 bushels. And the SMAC was opposed to that. Felt like it could actually increase the number of boats. Not really sure, but it's something we'll certainly have to come back to next year and consider, right, because we know we'll be down next year. This year we'll probably be okay not doing that, so we're not recommending following through with that we hold the bushel limit to 24 to the boat, 3 limits to the boat maximum. He also suggested that one of the suggestions we had was to lower the day in the daytime from 2 p.m. to 12. Again, to try to stop some of the long time that they're staying out in these areas once the harvest get down. And again, the FMAC was opposed to that. And, you know, commented that, you know, that some days that would only give them 5 hours to work. But I was at a PRFC meeting last night, and their hand scrape season, I didn't realize that theirs goes from 8 to 1. So we actually let people go at daybreak. So that we would have had a longer season than them in their hand scrape season. But still, we're recommending not to follow through with that this year, that hold the 2 o'clock and see how it goes at the end of the year. The other big issue that we had was that we had recommended to make some changes in 610, well, mandatory reporting, to make everybody report. The way we have it now, the helpers that are on a boat get included in, and they're always rotating around. And so you get a report for one boat, but you're not ever absolutely sure sometimes of who it was. And if we want to get into some limiting the catch down the road, it's not very clear. So we have suggested making everybody do their reporting for what they caught. And actually, the SMAC voted for that. But staff has decided that, you know, we really can't just do this for the oyster fishery right now, that we're planning some changes to mandatory reporting for next year, and if we did this alone for oysters, it would be a nightmare to try to get that word out to everybody that we're reporting. We'd have to have new forms, so we're not recommending doing that at this point. We are recommending a little change to the NEST regulation we're going to talk about is 260, and that and we're adding a phrase in there that that should be obvious, but that when you report 8 bushels, you catch 8 bushels, you report it, and in the measures that we have, that you can't report a different number if you take those oysters out of that measure and sell in some different container. And that's what we see happening in different places, that often people will dump from their orange baskets to wooden baskets and get 10 baskets, and so it goes down, the buyer reports it as 10 baskets when it's really only 8. And so we've made it clear that you can only report in the measure that we will be talking about in just a second for the legal measure for oysters. And that leads us to that that item that that we spent a lot of time on as commission last year, in that we had requests for several years to let people keep oysters in a plastic basket, as opposed to the way that we had done up till last year, where oysters were put loose in the pile. When you got back to the dock, you shoveled out into whatever the legal measure was, which at that time is the metal tub that you can see there at the bottom, and then you take your harvest out. And last year we worked hard with law enforcement and industry to come up with a way to use the orange baskets, and found that if we use them, and they actually, you loaded into them all day, and you have eight baskets out there for each limit. If they sit there all day and they kind of vibrate down, that they give almost the exact measure from an orange basket as you would get into a metal tub. And so we allowed that oysters last year to be kept in orange baskets as their limit, and you would just count up your orange baskets as you come in at the end of the day. And we had the problem at the end of the day is that they came in with orange baskets, and they still had to tub out. They still had to take them from the orange baskets, put them in a metal tub. And so in order to solve that, industry went to the General Assembly this past year and got another legal description of an oyster measure, and they made it a container that's 2,500 cubic inches to 3,000 cubic inches as being equivalent to a metal tub, which would allow the orange basket. And so we kind of thought we had it all straight to move forward in the future of that, but in the middle of last season, toward the end of last season, we started having problems with watermen loading their baskets and actually segregating their baskets between small oysters in baskets and large oysters, or legal oysters. And if law enforcement approached, they could just quickly dump the ones that are illegal. And that caused a problem for all of us because you're circumventing the law. Generally, when you're dumping those oysters overboard like that, you're not making sure that you're on a piece of ground that would support oysters, so they often went in mud, which is just like you harvest them, except for they've gone away, so you don't get any credit for them either in harvesting, or any credit in mandatory reporting for the harvest that we've produced. So after long discussions with law enforcement and with industry, law enforcement suggested that we go back to the loose in a pile with just having one basket allowed for you to do your measurement as you're harvesting. You keep dumping in the pile until you build up your 16 bushels or 24 bushels, whichever you get. And that's what we have included and advertised in the regulation. Now, the SMAC was obviously very much opposed to that. They felt like they had done well in how they did the baskets for most of the industry. And, we're concerned that this small group, again, was kind of messing up the apple cart for them and making them have to go back to what they'd done before. So what we have advertised is to go back to the same method of loosening the bottom that we had before. So, and then the last little bit that we had to make a change on was what was a requirement that we had to add into the 1230, the regulation on restrictions on oyster harvest. FDA and the ISSC, Interstate Shellfish Conference, is requiring all harvesters in the nation to take a harvesting safety course before they get their licenses. And we've been really the first state to implement that. We have it ready. It's online. And in order for a harvester to get his license for either clams or oysters come January 1st, he'll have had to take this course. And the course is being given around the state in different places to groups, as well as it's on our website. 45 minutes, you just sit down with the test, with the course, you run through it on your computer, and you're all done with the process. So the four things that we're asking that for as staff in this is that we're approval of the seasons as they were, approval of a control date. We are asking to go back to, based on law enforcement's recommendation, go back to Lutheran Ohio for culling, and to have that little statement added into the 26, the same regulation that says that when you measure out in one basket, you've got to report in that basket. And then the final thing is to, in 1230, to require everybody to take this harvester training program. So, any questions?
Questions of Dr. Weston?
No questions.
Thank you, sir.
Question.
Mr. Bell.
Dr. Weston, in your mind, with regard to the orange baskets, how much easier does it make it for someone to dispose of small oysters as opposed to just keeping a separate pile that's of small oysters where they'd shovel it over the side?
Small oysters are one of the things that we have to deal with, and they're a problem. And, if somebody wants to keep small oysters in the market for them, they'll figure out some way to do it probably with any way that we do it. And it's a constant cat and mouse with law enforcement on catching that situation.
As I understand it, having the possibility of these orange baskets being filled with small oysters posed on the gunnels, you can just dump it, is a lot easier than shuffling from the bottom of the boat. It's much more visually readily seen by any law enforcement officer in the area. If that was your question, I thought it was.
Yeah, that was your question.
Any other questions? Mr. Erson.
Hey, Jim. You indicated that the baskets that were in place this past season were effective for the most part. There were a lot of reports of, you know, it was efficient and things.
Very popular.
Were these isolated incidents, you know, where the small oysters were being segregated and then dumped overboard? And a follow-up question would be, did law enforcement actually witness the baskets being dumped overboard?
Yeah, I mean, he can answer those questions better for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Could you repeat your question?
There was an indication that there was wide acceptance, I guess, of the use of the orange baskets, and there might have been isolated incidents, I guess, of a problem segregating, you know, the undersized oysters. And is that's the first part of the question. Is that the case that you saw? Was it widespread or was it focused? And the follow-up question would be, did you all actually witness any harvesters dumping it overboard?
Captain, before you give your answer here, I need to swear you under your. Do you swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Thank you, sir.
There was quite a few incidents in my area in York. That was the area that was open at the time, and there was, you know, several amount of small ones actually got cut over pretty bad, you know, with the amount of oysters on a short period of time. We did witness a few of the dumping issues. We did catch and enforce, put some violations on, got convictions to some extent. We would go out there and check boats that would be oystering all morning. We'd get to one, we would find that they had it in baskets, but they had them separated. We'd get the violation. Then when we leave that boat, all the boats around would have, you know, a considerable amount of 10, 12, 15 oysters in there. When we go to some of the other ones that may have been, you know, participating in the same activity, they had been there all morning with absolutely no oysters. So I'm pretty sure it's not a problem. I'm loud today.
I don't like to be podium driven. So anyway, that's, you know, there. You know, York River was the issue. You say isolated incident. You know, that's kind of a abstract way of looking at it, because the fact is these areas are usually open one at a time and they rotate around, even though they kind of overlap. But they'll usually catch the biggest bulk in one area, and then they'll migrate to the next area that's going to open. So, yeah, it was my turn at the time in my area, so I'm familiar with that. But for me to say they happened in other areas or this is an isolated incident, either way, that would be a little far stretch.
Thank you.
Mr. Zita.
Dr. Weston, what does the industry think about this switching from the baskets to the pile?
They're very much opposed to it.
And the basket is very efficient, right?
Yes.
And it allows for ready accountability because you fill the basket as you catch the oysters, right?
Right.
And when you get to the dock, it takes less time to unload, right?
Right.
And when you sell it to the buyer, he can count the bushels right there.
Right. Correct.
Has it been given any consideration maybe to step up enforcement as opposed to making these changes in the industry that the people want?
Certainly. I mean, certainly we're constantly looking at ways to improve enforcement. So.
And, no, you did a great job on that last one we approved over there about the spot over there. I mean, would it help the staff to have more time to talk to these guys out there shaking their heads like this to maybe come up with some kind of a compromise?
That's a possibility, but it's there's so different ways of doing it that and you are allowed to choose. I mean, if a guy wants to do it in the bottom of the boat, he still can, and some guys did. But if they wanted to use basket flasher, they could use one or the other. And you know, listen to public comments. They may have some suggestions on that. So.
Any other questions, Dr. West or staff? This is a public hearing. Anybody wish to be heard on these fisheries or these oyster matters? Please come forward, sir. State your name for the record.
Yes, sir. My name is Charles Emsley. I'm a commercial fisherman. I'm right here in Houston, the Pernese area. I also sat on the sanctuary committee. And I know that here recently, well, I mean, we had the poles stuck up on the sanctuary so that it wouldn't be no confusion on where you were supposed to be. It was a boundary. But for somehow or another on that channel edge where them can buoys are, the 10A buoy, and I believe it's, six. They swing on chains with the tide. And, you know, I'm not saying that all the time this is the reason, but because they move back and forth up and down the river, it does change the line, you know. Not a whole lot, but it does change the line. And I think we need to put two more poles there. It's already a day marker just above the 10A. And on that rock, it's a real shoal where it's cut. Where that line cuts across it, and I think they need to put a pole there, you know, because that's the only place that you can work right there. It's just a very small area right there, and they need to go ahead and stick a pole right there. And it also needs one down below. But that was the first thing I wanted to get off my mind, because that's what I remember first. But, the quota? The 16 bushel, y'all not pushing it right now, but in the future it'll be coming back up. And what I got to say about that is we all pay $300, which last year it was $300 on October 1st, then we paid $300 the 1st of January, just so we could oyster in the state of Virginia. Which most of us that's in the room tonight, we just stay right basically in James River or the Rappahannock. But, you know, after you pay $600 and you got three men on the boat and you got a 24-foot from where you can catch, you know, it's a day's work for all three men, and that's just what it is. It's a day's work. It's nothing extra. It's no breakdowns on your engine. It's no... you know, overhaul bills on your boat. It's just a day's work. And at the end of the year, it can get you behind, you know. And where it's going now, with the 16 bushels to the boat, and if you do got a third man, and which a lot of us are family, and we need a third man on the boat, And they're either your son or your brother or your father, and it makes it hard. And we just paid, it's $900 for, you know, 3 men. And what it comes out to be is that third man, he ain't getting paid. And, you know, we work hard out here. Not all of us is out here to mess the system over. We out here to work. We out here to make a living and keep our boats up and keep pride amongst us. And, yeah, the orange basket thing, I'm sure it's some that take advantage of it. But, you know, me and my son are throwing two orange baskets. When we get our limit in the bottom of the boat, our two baskets go together on the towing board and we clean up and we go ashore. Now, the ones that put 16 baskets in the bottom of their boat and they're loaded, then, you know, I can see maybe checking them or saying something to them. Because, you know, it is easy access maybe to dump them overboard or something. But the way we do it, and I'm sure everyone around here in this building will tell you, that we call in the one or two baskets and dump them in the bottom of the boat. Now, there is some that put on trucks and take them up the road that may put them in 16 baskets or 24 baskets and take them up the road. But I don't think that we need to do nothing with that. If we want to call in two baskets that sit down on the edge of the culling board, I think that should be up to the warden. You know, when the officer comes alongside the boat and you got a loose pile and two baskets sitting there, kind of makes it easy for the officer to dump the two baskets together and call through them. You know, I mean, just to check them, you know what I'm saying? Just to see if you're doing right. Kind of makes it easier on the officer. But that's just my opinion of it. The season, or the time limit, was the time limit, good as 12. I don't think we need to do that. That's like somebody saying, well, y'all got to do these 22 agendas today before 12 o'clock. It don't work like that. The tide, the wind, you know, God puts it on us. We just got to work through it, put our nose to the ground, then some days. And some people's got it different than other people. You know, my son is getting married. Well, he's got a girlfriend. You know, he's starting, getting ready to start life. And he might have to work a little bit harder than I have to work, you know, to make his end meet. Well, I think that man shouldn't be put alongside of me. And if I got to go in at 12, he got to go in at 12. If he wants to stay out and make a little extra money, I think he ought to be able to have that right. He just pays $300 a year to work. And that's just $300 replenishment fee. That's not the license. And that's, you know, the gear to do it. That's just that $300 punishment thing. And I do got a few questions to ask on the replenishment end. I work the river every day.
Mr. Inslee, we have a lot of other people, I suspect, who want to speak. So,
I think they might be thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
They might want to be saying the same thing you're saying. So,
right. I work the river every day. I've seen one barge load of shells on Rat Shoals in the sanctuary in the last 2 years. I've seen a barge on Blunt Point last summer. Didn't see no shells on it. Didn't see where they planted them on. I have not seen the first shell on any public bottom nowhere in James River. Now, I haven't been in York River, and I haven't been in Rappahannock. And I'm kind of nervous here, shaking a little bit. But, I mean, I talked to Mr. Jim Weston. I talked to him on a right regular basis. And he knows all my heart's into this. And all my heart's into it for me, my family, and all the rest of the board and the standing out here. And if I'm going to pay $300 a year, I want something done with the public, not just for me, for y'all too. What if y'all wanted to go out there and get enough of oysters? Y'all got that right. You know what I'm saying? This is Virginia. We had that years ago set aside in trust. And that's, I think we need to start working on that. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hensley. Mr. Husky. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Kim Husky. I'm the Executive Director of the Virginia Seafood Council, Mr. Commissioner, and members of the Commission. Mr. Zedron, just for some information, the Virginia Seafood Council is a 58-year-old trade association of representing the seafood industry in Virginia. The members of the Virginia Seafood Council are opposed to the proposed amendment for basically doing away with the orange basket. If this regulation is passed, it will result in tremendous economic loss to oyster processors. The code was changed to allow for the offloading of oysters culled into orange baskets at the dock. If changed, it will allow watermen to dump the orange baskets of culled oysters into a pile on his boat and shovel them back in the basket at the dock. In a mock trial at one of my members' docks, 5 culled baskets were reloaded by shovel to make 6 baskets. The culling process allows oysters to be placed one at a time as opposed to being cribbed in a basket, and that is a process where you take a shovel and you shovel them out of the pile and shovel them into the basket by an experienced waterman at the dock. Given the day-to-day issue of measure that we all experience, this regulation will intensify the problem. My members have experienced very favorable usage of the baskets on the Rappahannock, Great Wicomico, and in Tangier in this past season. Greatly sped up the unloading process and got oysters from under refrigeration faster than the shoveling process. Code section 28.2513 of the Code of Virginia addresses prima facie evidence of culling violation, clearly addresses the instance of law enforcement visualizing a waterman dumping product during a chase or prior to inspection, and states the attempt of any person to escape, to throw oysters or shells into the water other than in ordinary process of culling, or to place oysters or shells on culling boards or deck from the hold upon the approach of an officer shall be prima facie evidence of the violation of the Commission's culling regulations. We applaud the MRC staff for wanting to address the conservation issue. However, in this case, there are code sections that can be used as tools to combat this problem without the financial hardship that this regulation will cause to industry. We urge you not to amend this code section.
Thank you.
I have a question. Other than the orange basket measure, do you object to any other suggestions that he made today?
No, sir.
Thank you. Tony,
any other questions? Anyone else wish to testify? Come forward, sir. Take your name.
My name is Hogg.
I'm sorry,
I want to apologize for breaking out.
Please state your name
Alan
again.
Hogg.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not going to get on this issue because that was an early issue, but I was the third boat that was involved in the Red Can Buoy issue, and when the tide stops, you don't work. You take a break, and that's what we were doing in the channel. The can buoy moved. The officer didn't tell the truth. I was on the boat. It was my boat. He didn't write me the ticket, but he wrote the boy on the boat with me the ticket, which, I mean, that was really not really good. He told us we had to plant our oysters. So I started shoveling over. He said, no, I need you to go into sanctuary. I said, well, that's where you
said. Hold on a second, sir. We're here about this regulation.
I apologize.
Not about your court case.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
It's like we don't have like 20, 30 days in a month, most of them. In October, and 10 of those days are a weekend, so you really don't get like 20 working days. And then when the weather affects in on that, you may wind up with 13 at the most. And if you go putting on more of a limit than what we're on now and cutting the time back, which in the wintertime, you don't go to work for 8 o'clock. Most of the time it's windy, the sun don't come up too early, and 8 to 2 is not really much time. So, it's tough. It's tough to make it. Even the way we have it now. I'm sorry about that burst earlier. That's just something. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Does someone else wish to testify? Please come forward. Aren't we all? Mr. Green, please state your name for the record.
Richard Green.
Thank you, sir.
Well, as for myself, and I'm sure most of the people here, which we've already heard, I believe the bushel limit is set for this commission. Is that correct? For the 18 and 6 bushels per man?
6 per man, 24 bushels.
8 per man.
Excuse me, my fault.
Okay.
My bad.
Well, I thought we was coming up with the other thing. That's just going to be in the future. Anyway, I'm glad you're going to stay there. I can't hear good. And and the 2 o'clock also, there's other reasons that we work kind of late. Sometimes you got a bad morning. You can have a very bad blow a day, and you still can go and get your piece of day in. And these are hard, you know, pretty costly times we're living in right now. You pretty well need every cent we get out of what we get. And if anything, I would recommend that we'd increase the bushel limit as opposed to anything else. It should be at least 10 bushels to the man, which I don't know if you want to go that way, but I'd like to see it. And the oysters, I guess a lot of people think when we go work in the area, okay, we'd have caught all the oysters up. We've caught all the marketable oysters. We haven't caught all the oysters up. I would imagine 70% of more oysters are still there when all the small ones. So when we do work in the area and we take oysters off it, that's a considerable, a large amount of oysters still left that we can't get, you know, for the next year's growth. I thank you very much, gentlemen.
Mr. Citron.
Let me ask Mary, on red baskets here. What's your opinion on the use of the red baskets as far as, you know, efficiency, economy to you, and whether it's going to cost you more in time and labor?
I think it's a great thing because most of the guys, they can go to the dock, they can unload quickly. You know exactly what you've got in way of oysters in your boat because many of us have gotten tickets for having too many oysters in a boat. At the time, you got sometimes you got to guesstimate at your pile if you don't have a basket to jump to dump them with, but... I've got tickets before not having it proper. Maybe have a bushel over, you know. And we thought we were legal, but when you get in, when you shovel them out, you find out you had a few too many. And that's you get a ticket for that. The basket tends to take care of all that problems and also allows you to get rid of your oysters very quickly because you've got a lot of boats behind you as well. You know, it gets really congested when you get to the docks putting out. So it's a very good thing to move things along.
Let me ask one more. As far as violations, no, we do a lot of striper fishing, and you got the same kind of issues with people catching undersized stripers and putting them in the big trash can when the boat comes and throw it over the back. What's your observation of violations as reference to the small oysters being thrown overboard?
I tend to think that's more of an exception to the rule rather than the rule. I think most watermen are pretty honest. I mean, we've got enough oysters there to work on. We don't even need to fool with that most of the time. There are some places, particular places, where oysters don't tend to grow very rapidly. They tend to be right at the 3-inch market, and it tends to cause a little bit of problems. And I've seen areas we work where the oyster bills will be real thin. He'd be a 3-inch oyster, and when you throw him in the boat, you break the bill off, and then you got a ticket. And that's the same way with that with these things. But there are people that will, I'm sure, exception to the rule, that will throw the little ones in. You know, I can't say I haven't done it in my life. I don't want to make a lie of myself, but we always tend to try to stay within the law, and I think it's the right thing to do. You know, because we're in it for the long haul. We're not in this thing just for a day or two or one season. Most of these guys are here for the long term. They're here for years down the road. And they want to protect this resource. And this is their livelihood. This is their life. And they're not going to go here willingly to destroy something that they have to depend on.
Thank you. Comment again on the timing. You mentioned 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever, and the number of bushels.
Well, it's not that we're trying to exceed the bushel limit, but it's due to most of the time it's due to weather. Most of the time, because you work winter months, and you tend to have more adverse weather in the winter time. So some days you'll go down there and you'll have a bad morning, and you can lay around and plug along like a day. But then as the evening comes on, it gets real nice, and you can work up to maybe 2 o'clock and get you a decent day in. And that's the basic reason why we need these times. Most of the times, I think the guys knock off by noon. And I think, as I've been over there before, most between 11 and 12 o'clock, most everybody goes back to the creek. They got the limits and they're gone. But you do get those bad days when that time does become handed to you.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Anyone else wish to testify? Mr. Kellum?
Mr. Bull, members of the commission, I'm Tommy Kellum. I'm Kellum Worcester Company. We're oyster processor located on the Rappahannock River. Commissioner Zedron, you pretty well summed up all of the comments with the orange baskets. As a processor, I adamantly oppose doing away with the orange baskets. I was a tough sell on that in the beginning. Last year, we purchased about $6,000 worth of baskets to distribute to the watermen, and it was one of the best efforts that I've ever seen. The unloading time was cut more than half. And prior to today, we did an experiment at our dock. For the 24-bushel limit, we can unload with orange baskets in 9 minutes, as opposed to about 36 minutes going through the process of shoveling out. With the refrigeration time frame and the criteria that we're under from the health department to get oysters under refrigeration as quickly as possible, these baskets were a huge asset. The watermen made the investment, and the most frustrating part is the code change came at a recommendation of the commission and law enforcement's involvement. The industry spent a lot of time lobbying that proposal last year at the General Assembly. It was passed, and at no point were we advised that there was an issue with the orange baskets. We could have asked for a veto. We could have pulled the legislation. There were several options that we had if we had known it was an issue. But I would adamantly request that we keep the orange basket measure in place. And going back to the control date, I'm not opposed to it, but I would ask that the commission consider going forward. If staff sees the recommendation for control date, obviously there's some action to come behind it, that you keep in consideration investments that families like ours have made in this industry. And when you notice the average age of the watermen in this room, that as we move forward, you take in consideration an opportunity for younger oystermen to enter this fishery. I'm not opposing the control date. I just ask going forward that you recognize that we need a matrix to get younger fishermen in this industry. So with that, I would take any questions. Or
I just have one time here. I would imagine you understand law enforcement's concern at these orange baskets having the potential to be abused and having undersized oysters lost. I mean, that's a loss forever with that. I'm undecided on how I'm going to vote on this issue here. I'm very concerned about that loss right there here. Can you see another path forward on this?
Well, I think the ironic thing, I think we've got a couple of MPOs that work the Rappahannock. The tickets that were written at our dock side last year were actually for watermen that had them in a pile, not for the ones that had them in the orange baskets. You know, we've been buyers. I'm fourth generation to this business and fifth generation to the industry, so we've seen a lot of things over the years. You know, a guy that wants to keep small oysters is not any different than putting a deadbolt on for a burglar. You've got 5-gallon buckets. We turned oystermen away that had small oysters in the bucket labeled waste that was going to, obviously at the dock, pour them in the pile. So I don't know you're going to get your end goal. And the thing the commission, I mean, we're putting all this on the watermen's shoulders, but, you know, they wouldn't catch small oysters if it weren't a market for them. So the code allows for buyers to also be responsible. All of the oysters that in obviously, we know we have a problem in the York River. Someone was buying those oysters, and he harbors, you know, as much responsibility as the oysterman did. I think the MPOs here from the Rappahannock could attest that they called the oysters once I bought them. We buy them and place them in cages that are marked to go under refrigeration. They look at the oysters in their cages and cull them, and I'm responsible. If they find undersized oysters in there, it's on me at that point once they've come across the dock. So I completely concur. You can attest that I've always been a resource protector, and my heart's in the resource. Got a lot of money invested, got a lot of family. A 10-year-old that was looking at some, we were talking about these issues, and on the control date asked the question, does that mean I won't be able to be in this business when I get old enough? So my heart, you know, small oysters are critical, but I don't think you're going to get the end goal, and I wish that had come forward from staff before we made the investments and went through getting a code change. But in answer to your question, I think it's sort of like the deadbolt thing. You know, a guy that wants to catch small resource is going to find a way to do it. The basket, you know, it's unfortunately it's on law enforcement shoulders to protect the resource, and we've got other tools and other ways to do that as opposed to this basket. And I applaud staff for bringing the basket forward last year. It was a huge asset. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Erskine.
If I can just make a comment about when Jim brought up the proposal and these recommendations, he referenced SMAC and the committee and the kind of deliberations that we had. And the Orange Basket issue obviously was a point of discussion, just like it is now. And it was unanimous among the committee members that we would retain the use of the Orange Basket. However, there was a concession in the committee that we would look at this further. And go back with a code change if necessary and work with staff and law enforcement if we had to change something. But for right now, we would unanimously decided to keep it at the committee level with the orange use of the orange basket. So just a bit of clarification on that. There was a lot of discussion at that time, too.
Thank you, Mr. Erskine. Thanks, Mr. Pell. Anyone else wish to testify? Please come forward, sir.
The last 8 years, I've been living Orchard year round. Last year, we had to pay for running off on Lincoln's. That was for the buyers to pay the taxes. Now we got to pay the taxes. If we don't pay the taxes, then it ought to be a bushel basket. It's a bushel, not a strip basket. Every 4 strip basket, they gain a bushel. So, in other words, we ought to be allowed to catch 10 bushel baskets or 8 strip baskets.
Could you explain the difference between those?
The shrimp baskets are bigger than a U.S. bushel basket. If you dump 4 shrimp baskets, you can dump them in 5 U.S. bushel baskets.
So what is your position? Are you saying keep the red baskets?
Even if you keep the red baskets, they come to a regular bushel, like a red basket. That says that's stamped on a U.S. bushel, not a shrimp basket.
So your position is to keep the red baskets?
Well, you keep the red basket or you go to a U.S. bushel basket. If you go to a U.S. bushel basket, you're allowed 8 bushels. So in the shrimp baskets, you would be catching 10 bushels. So that's taken off the public ground, too. If every bunch is allowed 24 bushels in a shrimp basket and on a U.S. bushel basket, that's 6 bushels extra coming off the rock every day by every bunch.
Does the present regulation allow for the shrimp basket?
A shrimp basket is equal to a tub. A tub is bigger than a U.S. bushel.
Thank you.
A Maryland tub is a U.S. bushel tub, not a Virginia tub. That's
not. Dr. Weston, can you clarify that for Mr. Zidane?
You know, we have to be very precise on what we allow as a measure. Different states have different bushel baskets, which is one of the odd things. You find a North Carolina's bushel basket different than Virginia's. Maryland's different than Virginia's. Ours has been defined in code for years as a certain size, which is about 3,000 cubic inches. The regular old crab basket you're talking about is about 2,200 cubic inches, the wooden basket. So what we have allowed here with the code change is, you know, we went out and did the studies on if you fill them up correctly and they stay out all day, that you could dump one into the other, and that is the orange basket that is, it's a plastic mesh basket that's commonly sold around here, and it's about 2,600 cubic inches. But for some reason, as it gets filled and rattles around all day in the boat, it kind of expands itself, and they're absolutely equal when you dump one to the other. We don't want to get into start talking about, you know, fish boxes or shrimp baskets or crab baskets. That's very specific on the two things that we can use for measure in the state by code, and that's just cubic inches, 2,500 to 3,000, and it's got to be adopted by the commission. You've got to adopt it, and one of the things in this regulation today is that definition of that plastic basket that's for your adoption, and we'll adopt that even if we decide to go in lose, we're still adopting that as the measure that, because the gentleman certainly passed that in the code this year. So we don't want to confuse them. There's so many different baskets in the world that we're using two of them.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Cook? Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to testify? Yes, please come forward, sir.
Yeah, my name is Jeff Hammer. Of course, it's about the orange baskets, and pretty much everything about them has been received well, other than the incident we had on the, or law enforcement had on the York River. And I don't think by punishing the majority of the watermen for a few of the bad ones, I don't think you're going to see the outcome that they're looking for by doing that. The other thing is all the regulations and the emphasis put on safety on the maritime industry. You know, we have the monthly safety meetings that we're required to have on the boats. We got the commercial vessel safety exam every 2 years. And there's also a stability ruling, the Coast Guard, on boats 50 foot and larger. And this is really a stability problem on the smaller boats. And I just want to make everybody aware of that. And yeah, and if you point load, if my insurance company knew I was point loading that boat with 24 baskets, I doubt they'd like that, you know, if it wasn't spread out. So that's all I got to say. Short. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Hammer. Anyone else? Last call. All right, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the Commission for Deliberation and Action. Mr. Ballard.
Question, are we going to attack each one of these separately?
It's entirely up to you.
I would advise so.
Perfectly fine, then. Let's see if we can find a consensus with the discussion. Let's see if we can find a consensus with the discussion here. If we have the staff recommendation here, I might throw it out there, does most people seem to agree with most of it?
Most of it.
Most of it.
All right. What is not agreed to?
The basket issue. I mean, you know, we've heard from the people who work it every day, and time is money, and you're putting a lot of stress not only on the buyer. We heard from the buyer there. He can unload this vessel in a few minutes compared to 30-something minutes to shovel it out. It's more efficient. It's probably cleaner. I didn't even think about this point that this gentleman brought up about piling all these oysters on one side of the boat so that if you get in the heavy seas, it flips the boat over. That's a big safety issue. And I understand the issue with the violation, but the lady testified as to 28.2513 about the prima facie evidence of culling violation. You've got that. I think this is an enforcement issue. It's not an economic issue. You heard from the people out there about the economic aspect of this. They want that basket. And I disagree with the staff recommendation on the basket.
Dr. Neal.
Well, it's obvious how important the healthy oyster population is to these individuals. And I applaud staff's concern about maintaining a healthy oyster population and trying to avoid a crash like we have had. And if these watermen want, we don't want the economic heartache that would entail. And so I think it makes it clear it's more incumbent on us as a commission than we do have these violations that come before us of the poaching and the illegal harvest. And we take them extremely seriously. And so in the future, when we do have law enforcement bring us people on the various regulations, we take them very seriously, which I think we've been doing. So having said that, I pretty much support all the staff recommendations, but I would keep the baskets at least for this year and see what's going on.
Mr. Erskine.
I agree with what's been said at the commission. I'd like to make a comment because in July at the commission meeting, I on the public record, this was introduced. Some of these issues were introduced, in particular the orange basket versus the open pile. And I made the comment at the time that you know, I would support going back to the open pile. And the reason was this conservation issue as well as the law enforcement issues, the way it was presented. And I understand that it's a resource issue with small oysters, but after hearing some of the testimony and getting more information, it seems to me that this overall, in general, was a success going to the orange basket, and there might have been isolated incidents of issues. And I would think that maybe targeted on water enforcement and assisting Captain Green, if he has an area that was a problem area, that we would beef up or reinforce the enforcement in that area, as opposed to punishing or going against what the industry overall wants, and that's the use of the orange basket. So I made that public comment, you know, back in July, and I just wanted to clarify at this meeting that, you know, after all the information, I'd be in support of retaining the use of the orange basket. I do, if I can follow up.
Yeah, please.
The first staff request for approval with the harvest areas is coupled with the control date. And I had a question about the control date. If we pass that and approve the control date with the harvest area, would that, is there a requirement to come before the commission again before implementing the control date?
This is just setting a date that we will use in the future if we decide to do some limits on people. You know, if we want to go to some quota system, something like this will be the date we go back to.
Right. I support the use of the control date. I just was unclear how it would be implemented and whether or not it would come before the commission or SMAC again, or how would that be?
It would be fully fleshed out.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Riley.
Would it be possible on the control date, if we're going to have to revisit that again in the future, would it be possible just to look back and set a date 2 years in the past and establish the control date
sure,
at that
we
point?
We could have done that. We feel like we were very liberal in setting the date July 1st this year.
But my perspective, Mr. Ballard, is that if the day comes, and hopefully it never comes, I'm just kind of thinking on my part here, that we are going to have to limit effort. This control date is a reasonable control date. There are people that have gotten into this fishery legitimately here with good intentions and are participating. It's better than retroactively setting, say, sometime in 2008 or 2010 or something like that. This seems to be a fair date. We adopt this. That's what we'll base the future management decisions along those regards on.
Anyone else have some comments here on this?
Mr. Commissioner?
Mr. Cedra.
On the time limit, the pushing it back from 2 to 12, I think anybody who's ever had a boat knows that you got to deal with the weather, and there's times that, you know, I look, it's raining cats and dogs at 6 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, the wind stops and it's nice and sunny, and I can go jump on my boat and go out there. And these guys, I just do it for my own personal use, but these guys do it for a living. And I think they should be afforded the same right as we do as recreational kind of fishers. And so that if they got 2 hours, you know, if they can't go out there till 12 o'clock noon, at least they got a couple of hours to do what they need to do. So that's another part of this recommendation that I would oppose, is moving that from 2 o'clock to 12, just leave it where it is. And if it gets to be a problem, we can always come back to it.
Okay. Staff recommendation is not for moving it at this time.
Staff recommendation is to leave it there.
That's fine. I go with staff recommendation on that.
Yeah, keep it there. Yeah. It sounds to me that everyone's in agreement on everything. Well, and maybe even the orange baskets. If we remove the orange baskets from this, maybe that's where we need to go.
But that's, I'm just trying to clarify here. From what I hear from the discussion,
I move that we eliminate the red baskets from this regulation.
We need to be more clear.
I second that.
Hold on a second. let's clarify that.
It's not a regulation from this proposal.
I think you're moving to remove any change to the basket use from the current regulations. You're in favor of the staff recommendation without any orange basket change, without any
correct.
Basket.
So move.
A second for Mr. Steffens.
Are we all clear on this? It would be an adoption of staff recommendation with the exception of the basket provision.
Is Chris?
I mean, we do have little tweaks, like to add in the definition of the orange basket and add in the basket's got to match up where they sell in this orange basket regulation. So if you, what you're voting on is not to go back to putting horses loose in a pile as a mandatory requirement. You can go back to where it was, you can choose either one.
All right, we're voting to approve your seasons, your control date, your official measure, the definition in your baskets, your safety class, and I think that pretty much covers everything except saying they can't use
baskets. That would be my motion.
That's motion by Mr. Citron and the second by Mr. Sessions. Are we all clear? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Passes unanimously. Thank you all very much for the hard work here. Thank you for everyone's participation.